When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
I've got good news and bad news, Death Marchers. Any questions before I tell you the good news, bad news? Would you like to hear the good news first or the bad news first? I guess is my question to you.
Any questions, anybody?
Yeah.
Nope. Okay. Sort of see myself as kind of like the Death March lieutenant.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit, like yeah. Kind of standing next to you, got like a club, kind of yeah. Menacingly whacking it into my open palm.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say it, I guess. And I'll say the bad news first, because people like to get that out of the way and then hear the good news as like a little dessert.
Yeah.
The bad news is,
not me. I don't like dessert.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I like?
Yeah. What?
Marching.
Yeah. Well, this will be relevant to your interests. The bad news is, but we have to just keep death marching. For the good news. We have done the first little bit of our death march, which is the
really,
first two chapters
just
of Middle
like
March.
A yeah. Really little bit. Yeah. Yeah. First two books, I will
yeah,
say.
First two books, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is Strange Bedfellows first. Hello, this is Strange Bedfellows. My name is Tanner Greenring.
My name is Jack Shepherd. It's the Death
March. It's a romance
march
podcast.
March. Yeah.
And it's the Death March through Middle March. That's the content block. We do content blocks on the show. They're all related to romance. We're reading a romance. Well, we're reading a small library of romance books. And
yes.
Today it was A Strange Bedfellows first because we read two books.
Correct.
Well, I guess we did read two books before.
We read two books, but back in the old days, back in George's time, books kind of meant like a different thing because it's like the whole thing is a book. I should say my audio sounds better now because I've actually started recording, but you know, now you know.
Oh, that just perfect.
So folks
thank you.
Know. But it's no whammies episode, so we'll just have to find a way to fill that in. Two books. We've read two books.
We read two books.
Yeah, we read two books. It's a death march through middle march. Do we need to go through the terms? Yes. We should go through the term. We should say what it is because it's a content block.
Yep. Maybe you heard the world building episode last week.
Yeah,
there is a lot to talk about. I texted you this earlier. I said the hard part about a death march is there's so much to see.
You want to stop and smell the roses, and we're not allowed to. I've got a lot of like throat clearing to do. Can we do that,
please?
Okay. First thing, I'd like to thank everybody for posting their memes in the Facebook group.
Oh, thank you. I didn't see them, but I'm sure they were great.
They were fantastic. That's great. And I'd love to see more of that. I hope people are kind of spreading those memes far and wide. I think that's going to be a big part. So Death March through Middle March, for people who don't know, who didn't listen to our introduction episode. It's
the
like,
world building episode. Go back and listen. It is important. It seems dry, but yeah, like you do need
you
that's
really
important
should.
Foundational stuff.
Death March through Middle March is it's not just our content block for March. It is the new Ice Bucket Challenge. Everybody's been saying, when's the next Ice Bucket Challenge? We never had one, and it's Death March through Middle March. And so it's got this like real social aspect to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of memes you got to make, and there's a lot of... I've been thinking about the mechanics of how we can like Ice Bucket Challenge-ize it.
Oh, yeah. You were trying to pitch me some pretty weak mechanics.
I've got a good one now.
One was, you sent me a picture of, it seemed like you had fallen asleep with the book, reading the book, and it falls asleep on your, like, face, and you're like, look, it's like I'm planking or something.
I didn't say look, Christ. And he also never responded. Everybody post your middle marching pictures in the Facebook. Middle marching is when you, like, are death marching through middle march, and you fall asleep, and then the book.
Oh, can I tell you something else? I think this is fucking perfect for middle marching. We can white label this for middle marching.
Okay.
It's the reason I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Another thing my obnoxious friends and I used to do in college was if we saw two friends of ours, Space Invaders.
Yeah, that's something that you talked about in a previous episode that we just recorded.
I know, but I can't keep track of that.
Okay, so a thing. Let's just say a thing. Tanner used to do a lot of obnoxious things. Yeah.
Here's something that my... I've told you a lot of stories about obnoxious things my friends and I have done in college.
Including one that's going out on the Patreon this week.
Wow. Go sign up. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast.
Yeah.
Something my friends and I used to do to annoy our friends in college was if we saw two friends walking together or a couple that we knew walking together and there was three of us, we would run up behind them.
Okay.
Two of them would come up on either side. I've told the story before. And they would... flank them, get their attention, and then kind of like run forward.
Okay.
And as the couple's like, what's that? The third comes bursting through the middle of them.
And hold hands them?
Yeah, and yells, Blue Angels! And then all three of you run off.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty annoying.
So maybe that can be middle marching.
So wait, how do we do that for middle march?
It just exactly as described, we would just say it's middle marching.
I think you'd need to be holding the book.
Oh. Yeah, and I guess it doesn't really, there's not really a deep tie to the show.
So, my thing was better. You've preempted me by saying my great meme that I sent you, which you never responded to, which is, and everyone can post it. Everybody's been saying, hey, what's going to be the next planking? Everybody's been saying that, haven't they? At least admit that.
Yeah, I've been saying it for the last, what year is it?
2024.
13 years.
Yeah, what's going to be the next planking? Well, I'll tell you what it is. Post a picture, you're death marching through middle march, you fell asleep, and the book is open on your face where you fell asleep. And it's a picture of you're lying down and the book's
Bay
on your
face. Bae
caught
me middle marching.
They caught, oh, babe, and then you write, babe, or Bae caught me
Bae
middle
caught
marching.
Me middle marching.
Yeah.
Hashtag middle marching.
Hashtag death marching middle march. That's the next planking. It's going to be so fucking viral.
What
it's
if
so
the joke
social.
Is that the book is so big that you've been crushed, you've fallen asleep, and it's crushed your head?
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah.
So you have to do something where it's like you lay down in such a way where your head is like under blankets, and you put the book on top of your head so it looks like your head's been smashed by the book.
That's the iteration. I think we start with just regular middle marching for everybody, and then like it's going to evolve as more and more people do it. That's called middle marching. That's a meme. That's not the social meme. Here's what I want to do that's like going to give it like that ice bucket challenge, like everybody has to do it.
We have so much to discuss, Jack.
Well, then let me get through this really
fast. I need you to nail this.
Okay. It's called, I haven't quite got the name for it. But the way that I'm describing it right now is it, and then in parentheses, it says middle march, and then follows.
Okay.
So it's like it follows, but the it is middle march. Now, I haven't seen It Follows, but I think the way that it works is like somebody is reading middle march, and then if somebody else sees them reading middle march, now they have to read middle march.
Oh, yeah. Let's call it
middle march follows.
No. Shut
middle
up.
Middle marches.
You're infesting my brilliant, creative, gleaming mind with your bad ideas. One second.
Well,
it wants to be like infestation or pandemic or like, it's like zombies, right? Like,
yeah.
If you get bitten by a zombie, you turn into a zombie. If you see someone
if you
reading
see it on
middle
feet,
march,
yeah.
You have to read middle march.
And the thing about it that's cool is, so the death march through middle march for those of us elite, like we're starting on the 1st of March. But if you like see a death march through middle march video
12:30 last night reading the first two books of middle march.
Yeah.
Yes, I was up until the 1st of March reading.
Perfect. Well, so if you see like a video of someone reading middle march on your TikTok and you're like, "Oh, what's this?" Now you have to read middle march even if it's like March 17th. You just have less time to do it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. So post those, and I've got some more memes, but we'll talk about them.
Put a creative spin on it too, though,
in relation to the book.
And honestly, make it your own.
Yeah,
middle marching. Well, how do you define middle marching?
Yeah,
we're not the artist, and you're not the viewer viewing our art. This is a collaboration.
So let's say the book now. We read books one and two.
Books one and two. We started with chapter one last week. We met Dodo and we met her insufferable sister.
What? What? What the fuck? What?
You don't.
What's wrong with Kitty?
I thought these two books really made me want to sympathize pretty hard with Dodo.
You don't have to take a side.
Yeah, you do.
They're not like opposed to each other.
Let's get into it. Lots to discuss. There's 22 chapters we just discussed this week.
Yeah.
I thought we could, and by we, I mean you,
yeah,
give me a bullet point from each chapter just so we can refresh people who maybe fell behind on the middle march. Chapter two.
Yeah. I guess like you could say that if you say the title of the chapter, I can.
I don't think they have titles.
Okay. Yeah. So not only do I have to remember everything that I kind of death marched through, but I need to remember exactly where in which chapter it fell.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were one of the guys holding the bayonets.
I am. It seems like someone else should have to do it.
Chapter two. Yeah. Let's see.
I imagine chapter two is going to be when we left off last week, we got a little bit of Middlemarch to whet our appetites. We learned that if you are a 20-year-old babe in Middlemarch, you want to find Zaddy who can teach you Hebrew. And chapter
here's everything
two,
that's happened.
She does.
Here's everything that's happened on the death march since last week. Let me see if I can remember.
Yeah,
James, Sir James comes to town.
Mm-hmm.
He's their next door neighbor.
Yeah.
He's hot.
He's hot. He's got a bunch of acres.
And he wants Dorothy. But Dorothy is committed to Dorothea is committed to Mr. Casaubon.
Wow.
Who's a stodgy, old, ugly man who is really smart but doesn't have much else to offer.
She thinks he looks like her, like, justification is he looks like John Locke, the philosopher. And Kitty is like, okay, yeah, if John Locke was like ugly as shit.
Mr. Brooke is their uncle. He doesn't care about them. Here's a passage.
He does. Okay.
They're talking about Mr. James Chetham.
Yeah.
It's impossible to say that I should ever marry Sir James Chetham, said Dorothea. If he thinks of marrying me, he has made a great mistake. That is, you see, one never knows. I should have thought Chetham was just the sort of man a woman would like now. Pray, do not mention him in the light again, uncle, said Dorothea, feeling some of her late irritation revive. Mr. Brooke wondered, and felt that women were an inexhaustible subject of study.
Okay.
So.
So what?
I was saying that to both improve his indifference to his nieces.
Yeah.
Dorothea and the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And to show what a king George is, he's like out here slaying these women, right?
George Eliot.
George is a king. He's out here smashing the, what's the opposite of patriarchy? Matriarchy.
Okay, George is out here smashing the matriarchy. Yeah, yeah. He doesn't give a shit. In those days.
Putting women in their place.
Yeah, famous dude like George Eliot could get away with that type of shit. And everybody thought it was funny.
Mr. Casaubon proposes. Can I read his proposal letter? It's hashtag swoon.
Yes.
Okay. My dear Miss Brooke, I have your guardian's permission to address you on a subject than which I have none more at heart. I am not, I trust, mistaken in the recognition of some deeper correspondence than that of date in the fact that a consciousness of need in my own life had arisen contemporaneously with the possibility of my becoming acquainted with you.
Whoa, wow. And that's when she's like...
Hey, that's like the first paragraph. There's like three more pages of this.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I captured this as well because it's such a steamy letter. She basically.
Yeah, it's sort of too hot for audio.
Uncle is like, hey, Dorothea, weird news. This like fucking like old crone is interested in marrying you. shall I tell him no? And she's like, no, tell him like, yes,
tell
please.
Him yes. Dorothy, and then that's,
he's
so
like, all right, now all I need to do is write like a hot fucking letter.
Yeah.
She's interested in him because she thinks he's going to like, he's like an intellectual and he's going to teach her like the stuff of life, you know, like, yeah. He understands the world and like,
but
the
he's
world
stodgy
of
and he's conservative and yeah.
He sucks shit, right?
Yeah, he's a pill, fucking pill.
So, what are we doing? Are we doing this chronologically? Are we saying everything that happened?
Oh, I don't know. So much happens. I'm just like, I'm lost in it. I've got like 6 girth checks.
Okay. Yeah.
So many hashtags and so many eligible bachelors. Yeah. At some point, we finish a book. Yeah. And a whole second book starts, and they change all the characters' names for some reason. It's wild.
I should say, for folks who haven't got started on Death March, you're still, basically, you just have to catch up, right? Like, you're still on the Death March. You're just, like, yeah. way behind. And, you're like, really you don't have the protection behind. Of the other, like, marchers. And it
yeah,
gets pretty
and there's,
swampy
there's
there.
Like, wolves out here.
Yeah. Yeah. But this book absolutely fucking slaps. It's a very easy read.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I wouldn't
good.
Say it's an easy read at all.
It's funny. It's good.
It's pretty long. It's a big book.
George is very insightful.
Yeah, George is pretty funny. Do we want to do Burns?
Sure. Let's do Burns. Yeah.
Burns of the book.
Hmm.
Because there's...
Here's what I need. Like, if you can find me a word that starts with M, that means burn.
Oh,
Mauling, like mauling of the march. Is that pretty good?
March immolation?
I don't like that at all.
That's pretty good. What do you mean? That's better than whatever bullshit you said. Doesn't even mean burn.
Match of the march?
You're getting match. Further away from it. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
How about like match strike of the march?
Hike.
March
That's
hike.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Match strike of the march hike. That's great. It's not a mouthful. It absolutely fits. Everybody will know yeah, what we're talking
about. Got
there
about. Really quickly and cleanly. I have a couple. I probably could do a burn per book, but...
Oh, wow. That's a lot of burns. Why don't you pick a couple of your faves?
Yeah.
I'll set up the scene for folks who are have fallen behind on the march, let's say, gently. The main situation is this. Dodo, a.k.a. Dorothea. We call her Dodo. It's Dodo to us. Dodo has just got it into her head that she wants to marry this man who's 30 years older than her and is like a fucking desiccated husk because she thinks he's like a religious scholar and he's going to teach her
about the world. It's like people who eat Soylent. You know, yeah. She just like, she wants out. Yeah. She's found a way out and now yeah. She's just going to like take it, you know?
And Kitty, her sister, thinks it's stupid. Everyone kind of thinks it's stupid. Her uncle, who like,
everyone.
I agree.
Literally, and now I know why the book's called fucking Middlemarch, because they, George King Slay
yeah.
goes through the entire town of Middlemarch and gets every single person's opinion on the...
yeah, on the match.
The match.
George is like, okay, we've set this up. I got to go and like find out like what everybody thinks of it. Everyone's yeah. like, it's like we go into their houses. And they're like, did you hear about the thing, the marriage?
Yeah.
Sounds bad. Everyone thinks it's bad. And then
and that keeps happening for chapters.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the main thing. Sir James, who was going to propose to her, who seems like a good man, he is hashtag swoon. He's got a few acres of land. He's like now turned his attention to her sister. That's the main thing. Now you can sell your burns.
That I think my burn is related. Thank you for okay. setting it up.
Yeah.
It's Sir James Chetham talking to Mrs. Cadwalder, who is yeah. just some old lady who lives in town,
but she like kind of knows her shit. She's a little bit gossipy, but she tends
she's
to
like
be
the
right.
gossipy yeah. like old lady. Yeah, yeah. She's nice. We like her.
We like
well,
her. We like
hear this. Listen to this burn.
Yeah, we like almost everybody so far except Casaubon and Bulstrode. For what it's worth,
Bulstrode
like a fucking pompous banker.
I gotta say though, what's his face? The mean old man, who yeah. I always picture as Robin Williams when I think of him. Is that weird? Featherbottom.
Yeah,
Featherstone.
There's a farmer called Featherstone. We'll have to set the scene for people who that is. But
he's a little conniving.
He's a little mean too.
He's playing some games.
Yeah. All right. So yeah. So we got your burn.
Humphrey, I have no patience with you. You know you would rather dine under the hedge than with Mr. Casaubon alone. What has it got to do with Miss Brooks marrying him? She does not do it for my amusement. He has not got no good red blood in his body, said Sir James. No, somebody put a drop under a magnifying glass, and it was all semicolons and parentheses, said Mrs. Cadwalder. Pretty good.
This was my burn, and it was also the moment at which I was like, oh shit, am I this guy?
Yeah. I caught it as a burn on you.
They were like, he had this like summer of his life behind him. He's, you know, 45 years old and like he's into like Greek and Latin.
Yeah.
Just like a teeny tiny bit on the nose.
My other one is just from pages before, and it's also Mrs. Cadwalder.
Okay. She burned him again.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
She's talking about Dodo, and she says, she says he's a great soul, a great bladder for dried peas to rattle in.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, good.
Pretty good.
This lady owns. Love her.
One of those burns was my burn. I have a second burn, though, and it's an opportunity for us to introduce two new important characters.
Okay.
We have got, folks, for you, guess what? Dodo and Kitty are not the only babes in town. There's another babe in town. Her name is Rosie. A lot of the guys, and it's not just me, Liggate is saying this, Featherstone is saying this shit. Like, everybody's saying Rosie is maybe the biggest smoke show in all of Middlemarch.
Yep, they change all the characters' names. They change James's name. What was his name?
Chatham.
Chatham becomes Fred Vincey.
Yeah.
Dodo becomes Rosamund.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Kitty becomes Mary?
Yeah, someone called Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's Rosamund's friend.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. Fred, Fred is, we like him, but he's like bad with money.
Fred is great. I'll say this. James Chatham and Fred, later Fred, both are highly relatable characters.
Yeah, highly relatable dudes. Yeah.
Fred is bad with money.
Yeah.
And lazy.
But like,
check.
Very charming.
Yeah. Sir James Chatham at one point is arguing with the local priest. Yeah. He argues with like the priests a lot.
There's a lot of, for folks who haven't read this, there's a lot of arguing with priests in this book.
So Sir James Chatham is a doctor.
Yeah.
And he's in Middlemarch to start a hospital. Or is that Vincey?
That's Lydgate, bro.
That's Lydgate.
God.
Sorry, they changed Fred and and Sir James's name again at one point.
How high were you when you read this?
To Lydgate. What's his first name? Arthur?
Tertius.
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 Yeah. So Tertius, they changed his name to Tertius.
Cool name.
Yeah.
We haven't got to Lydgate yet. I'm describing Rosie and Fred so that I can say my burn.
Yeah, please go ahead.
So we've got Rosie. We got Fred. Rosie is a babe. Fred is funny. And they're brother and sister, importantly.
Sure. Yes, they are brother and sister.
Rosie says, they're like fighting. And she says, I cannot see why brothers are to make themselves disagreeable. Let me say it nice. Can I say it nice?
Please.
I cannot see why brothers are to make themselves disagreeable any more than sisters. And then Fred says, I don't make myself disagreeable. It is you who find me so. Disagreeable is a word that describes your feelings and not my actions.
Wow. Facts don't care about your feelings.
Facts don't care about
your feelings.
He's
like the original Ben Shapirius.
He's the original. Why so Shapirius? Ben Shapirius. Very funny, though, and charming.
Yeah just like Ben Shapirius.
That's my burn of the week. Let's see. Let's break this up a little bit, guys, because I've got a meme for folks to post. Is now a good time for us to give folks a meme to post before we like load them down with more plot?
Yeah. Let's do memes. Everyone, meme break.
It's a meme. We're going to do a meme break. We're actually going to take a real break.
Oh.
And then we'll come back with memes. A meme break. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. I'm going to do memes for my real break too.
And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp except 100% soggier, is going under, both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign, and a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we're back. It's the meme break now, and I've got a meme. You can do a meme too if you want. But yeah, here's the one that I've been putting together. Actually, got two. Should I do both of them?
Yeah.
I want to do memes that are like modern, because like Ice Bucket Challenge, it's like from like a couple years ago. You know, so I want something that's a little bit more modern. So one of the things that's going on is that Mr. Chetum, who we like, who wants Dodo to marry him but is rejected, he's into her like plan of do-goodery. She wants to like do good for all the people living on the land. And he's like, sure, I'll help build them cottages, which is nice. But in the context of that, he has a conversation with Mr. Brooke, where Mr. Brooke says the following thing. A great mistake, Chetum. Going into electrifying your land and that kind of thing, and making a parlor of your own cow house.
Oh, yeah.
So, here's my meme, I think. It's,
What's a parlor? Is a parlor where you have sex or where you butcher animals?
A cow house is where you butcher animals.
Yeah.
A parlor is where you have, well, you can.
Yeah.
Here's my meme.
It was a room where you, so originally a parlor was one where you milked a cow.
Okay.
Not butchered a cow.
Yeah. I don't think it's either of those things. I think he's saying like...
Okay. Well, I'll tell that to fucking Google.
Like, why are you building these cottages for people when like we've got like perfectly serviceable like farm utilities there? Anyway, I was, you know that Kevin James meme that's been going around?
Which one? I think when you're James-pilled like I am, you
it's see a big one. James it's like memes. The main meme from last year. It's like Kevin James looking kind of like winky-winky, like I've done something impish. Are you Googling it?
Kevin James meme. Yeah, I'm seeing it now.
Got it, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think about, tell me how this caption, so you've got the picture, right? It's Kevin James like leaning on his elbow and he's like looking like he's like the cat that got the cream. Yeah,
yeah.
Tanner's doing it. Now look at that picture and tell me how you would feel if you saw written underneath it, me after I electrify my land and make a parlor of your cow house.
Pretty good. I like that.
Right?
Yeah, it's hard.
It goes hard. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Because that's like a hell of a face to make if you're electrifying your land and making a parlor of your cow house.
Yeah. So folks can post that.
Yeah.
And then the one I need a little bit of help with, like the other big meme from last year is everybody was saying, remember how everybody was saying Baby Gronk rizzed up Livy Dunn?
Sure. I'm going to say yes. I do remember everyone saying Baby Gronk rizzed up Lizzie Dong.
Yeah. I think it's Dong. Is it Dong or Dunn?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know who either of those people are.
Okay.
But I do know that everyone was saying Baby Gronk rizzed up Lizzie Dunn. Look it up. And I think, like, to the extent that I understand this meme, which to be fair is like not a lot, like I would say about like 15%.
I think I understand even less than you.
To the extent that I understand it, I think what the meme is, and I could very well be wrong, is that that's like a pretty goofy thing to say, and that's it. And everyone's like, why does someone say that? And why does it make sense? You know, I think that's how it works. But here's what I got. Just tell me what you think of this. First impression. Dodo Brooke rizzed up Cassel Bunn.
Yeah. What? Cassel Bunn.
Yeah.
Casabon.
Because it works. I think rizzed up is when you like charm somebody.
Yeah, it's when you charm someone.
Right.
And he rizzed up her.
Yeah, but it doesn't work just like in terms of the inflection.
No, I know.
And I don't know what the picture would be.
I'm going to just do a quick search for rizzed up meme. And let's see what Google.
Oh, yeah. What kind of image? I think it's usually going to have Baby Gronk in it, which is like, I don't know. Maybe folks.
That's fine. I think, yeah, that's what I'm getting. So I think we just Photoshop in over this.
Yeah.
Baby Gronk Riz thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll just do that. That's easy.
Yeah.
So he's the drip king.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we can get into like the full lore of that, because like I know some of that stuff tangentially. Like I've heard it all. I know that he's the drip king. I don't actually. Yeah. I do know what that means. I think it means he like wears nice clothes. But who's the drip king of Middlemarch?
Oh, geez, Louise.
Probably Lydgate, right? We haven't even talked about Lydgate.
Who's the handsome boy artist?
Will Ladislaw.
Ladislaw is my
should we rank our swoon? Do you want to rank our swooniest
#swoon
#swoon ranking of Middlemarch? Do you want to go first or you want me to? Who have we got? We got Chetum. This is just the boys. We got Chetum. We got Will Ladislaw. We got Casalbon or Casalbon. How are you? You were saying it good.
Casabon.
We got Lydgate, Tertius Lydgate. What a name. He's a new doctor in town. We haven't talked about him much, but I'm feeling he's going to be pretty important. Yeah.
I'll describe Lydgate to you in in Rosamund's words.
Yeah, okay. Rosamund's got a little crush.
This was my #swoon.
Lydgate rizzed up Rosamund Vincey, for sure, right?
Oh, sorry, this is Mary's words. Okay. Rosamund asks Mary to describe.
Yeah, Mary is Rosamund's friend. She's like, it feels like she's not as much of a babe as Rosamund is, but Fred likes her anyway. I like Mary.
She asks Mary to describe Mr. Lydgate.
And yeah.
Mary says, "How can one describe a man? I can give you an inventory. Heavy eyebrows, dark eyes, straight nose, thick dark hair, large solid white hands. And let me see. Oh, an exquisite Cambridge pocket handkerchief."
Wow.
So...
okay.
#swoon, right?
I got a meme for this.
So he's one. He's my one.
What's her name? What's the name of the girl from Bridget Jones's Diary? Don't say Bridget Jones. I'd be so upset. Okay, fine. We'll move on. It's the girl from Bridget Jones's Diary, and she's looking at Jerry Maguire from Top Gun.
Renee Zellweger.
And she's saying, "You had me at big white hands."
Yeah, you had me at big white hands, but you like kept me at exquisite cambric pocket handkerchief.
Yeah, well, he's saying like, check out this exquisite like cambric pocket handkerchief, and like showing it to her, and she's like, "No, you had me at big white hands."
Yeah, stop. Say less. Did you have one?
Okay, so you're picking...
So he's number one.
He's number one. Well, I want to say...
Mr. Lydgate is number one.
We'll say the next...
Because he has strong white hands.
Next part of the plot. Major thing that has happened. So kind of grudgingly, Casabon takes his new bride. They get married. Takes his new bride to Rome to like look...
Man, so much happens in this fucking book.
This bro is
They go to Rome and they immediately start getting into... fights.
He's writing
because she really. Sorry, I'm taking over your.
No, that's okay.
He is an academic, and he is. I don't even know what his like field is. I can't remember economics.
No, he's writing a book. I think the closest analog is probably James Frazer's The Golden Bough, which I think was actually probably would have been after this. But he's writing a book called The Key to All Mythologies.
Oh, yes.
So it's like, okay. Basically, it's actually like George being a fucking king again. And like,
yeah.
It's like a skewering of academics because it's like, yeah. That's a pretty big topic, bro.
George is out here. He's blue collar. He's putting these fucking like effete Londoners in their place.
Yeah.
Tearing the system down from the inside out. He's like a Edwardian lead singer of Rage Against the Machine.
Zach Della Roca.
Guitarist from Rage Against the Machine. Tom Morello.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I got it.
Where are we? So, yes.
He's writing a book called Key to All Mythologies.
And
he takes
her
to Rome.
Is desperate for some kind of like, just any kind of purpose. She just wants to help him write his book, but he doesn't want her interfering because fucking George, once again, putting women in their place.
She thought she was going to be like his helpmeet and like fucking like read Greek to him, like Milton's daughters read Greek to him.
Yeah, she literally says that.
She does literally say that.
But no, he doesn't trust her with his work.
He literally does not know what to do with women or indeed almost anyone.
No, yeah.
He just wants
so they
to
get
like
in,
be in the library.
They get in a lot of fights.
They get like a little snippy. They get into Rome. They're having a bad time. And then the whole thing is shaken up because his like nephew shows up. And is it nephew? Is it second cousin? I don't know. George is pretty free with this shit. George is like, everybody's a fucking second cousin, but they act like they're a son in Middlemarch. He's kind of dependent on Casaubon. His name, Will Ladislaw. He shows up in Rome, calls on them, and like, he's just got a real fucking swoony energy.
Yeah, he's an absolute dreamboat.
I actually think he may be the biggest dreamboat of Middlemarch, more so even than Lydgate.
Oh, but think of his thick, dark eyebrows and straight nose.
Did you capture a description of Will? Because I did.
You did?
No, I didn't.
Okay, but let me see if I caught one.
If you caught one, that would be a real help because we can
I have a lot of girth checks, so.
Okay, well, if you have a girth check and not a description for Will Ladislaw, I'll take that.
Here we go. The cousin was so close now that when he lifted his hat, Dorothea could see a pair of gray eyes rather near together, delicate, irregular nose with a little ripple in it, and hair falling backwards. But there was a mouth.
There was a mouth? Holy shit, this guy's got everything.
There's a page turn there.
Oh, okay.
Take. There was a mouth and chin of a more prominent, threatening aspect than belonged to the type of the grandmother's miniature. So I guess he looks like a miniature grandmother?
He looks like a miniature grandmother and he's got like a
with
ripply
eyes
nose.
That are really close together. And ripply nose. Yeah.
Is that a ripple in your nose or are you just glad to
wow,
see
sounds
me?
Sounds hot. Yeah.
He sounds hot. I'm imagining Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah. I'm thinking Owen Wilson.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Just because of the ripply nose.
Yeah, and the curly blonde hair. He has curly blonde hair, too, I think he was described.
But he's like God.
Dorothea, like, sees him like, or not Dorothea. She's Dorothea's new character.
Rosamund. Yeah.
Like, at some point, like, sees him in, like, the twilight, like, sun, like, glowing in the, like, sunlight. She's like, oh, who's that handsome young man?
He's a mega
there?
Babe. He's, like, so smart. He's also seems kind of, like, idle, kind of like Fred. He's just
yeah, there's just a lot of that back then. You know what they should do? Start a podcast.
He's like, yeah, I'm like a like world-class artist, but you have to like spend like a lot of time to get as good as like Raphael, and I don't have a lot
like,
of time.
What's the fucking point? Yeah.
What's the point? Like,
good enough.
He's hot. He looks like a miniature grandmother. He's got like a ripply-ass nose.
Yeah.
His nose is like swole as hell.
Yeah, that's why all the ladies in Rome and Middlemarch are so into him.
I think he's the swooniest guy in Middlemarch. And he's like, he's just like, he does a lot with a little knowledge. He's got a little learning and he's just like, acts like he knows everything in a way that's like pretty sexy.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, Casaubon's key to all mythologies. That shit's never going to fly. Because if Casaubon had ever bothered to read the Germans, they've basically already done that. And it just like
scorched.
Dodo was like absolutely fucking destroyed by that. She's like, oh, maybe my husband isn't the fucking scholar I thought he was.
Yeah, Dodo's really disillusioned with Casaubon after the Rome trip. But she's now it's a love triangle because she's got Ladislaw and Sir James Chetham.
So we've got Ladislaw. We got Lydgate. Rank your swoony dudes.
Okay.
We got Fred, I think, is
that's the problem. That's, you know what? When I texted you earlier and said the problem with this is there's so much to see and do, the problem was coming down on whether or not I thought Casaubon was hashtag swoon based on his incredibly dreamy letter and.
Yeah.
But now I think he's getting knocked down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and she says he looks like Locke.
Yeah. From Lost?
Maybe it's Locke from Lost. I don't know. I don't know the timing. She says he looks like Locke, and they're like, she's like, she like looks at a portrait of Locke with his like sunken eyes.
Oh yeah. She's like, it looks like someone you could learn a lot from.
And then later, in a scene that's too complex to fully explain, Swoony Will Ladislaw and his like German painter friend.
Yeah, that guy's a fucking.
They like hoot. Basically trick Dodo into like hanging out with them and just like being a babe for like hours by telling her husband, Casaubon, that they want to paint him as Thomas Aquinas.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another meme, folks, for you.
Yep.
It's a
meme. Meme break.
Paint me like one of your. Wait, hang on. What are they called? Scholastic.
Yeah.
Paint me like one of your scholastic scholars.
English scholastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
And it's a picture of, I guess, Aquinas, or, you know, you can work on it. But yeah.
Jack, yeah. I come to you with my little paper hat in hand,
mm-hmm.
my gaze cast downward.
Yeah.
The shame and anguish and embarrassment clear in my body language.
Yeah.
This is not something I am proud of.
Okay.
This is not something I like to do. This is not a passion of mine. It is just something that I am very good at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to be doing this, but I am coming to you as the world's preeminent Bingus Butcher. It's Girth Check.
Girth Check.
It's Girth Check. Yeah, it's where we say how long that dong.
There's a lot of dong talk in this book.
Okay.
I captured a few. Yeah. Not necessarily all characters in the book. Let's see. First one here is actually from the header of chapter 12.
Okay.
He had more toe in his distaff than Gervais knew. And that's from Chaucer.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So George is a pretty
well-read
bloke.
I don't know who Gervais is there.
Ricky.
I know who Chaucer is. Yeah. Ricky Gervais. And I heard that guy's distaff is huge. It would be hard to put more toe on there.
George, at the beginning of every chapter, and it's like, all right, try harder, George. You've got like fucking 22 of these things. I don't need a quote from poetry at the beginning of every one that kind of like, I once, can I tell a brief aside?
Please.
Probably because I, you know, read a lot of George Eliot and stuff like that in college for my degree. Whenever I would hand in an essay, even though it wasn't asked for, I would put a little quote at the top from poetry.
Such a fucking absolute dickhead you are. Oh my God.
And I remember.
That's fine. That's
I actually
cool.
remember
That's
the
cool
specific one. It was from.
It's fine.
It was from Wordsworth. It was "The child is father of the man," and something like "They are bound each to each in natural piety." Something like that. I put it at the top of my essay on, like, I don't know, whatever, like fucking like. Mythic narratives in Middlemarch or some shit. And like, I just remember my teacher being like, my professor was like, "This is great. I love this quote. Like, why?" Like, what does it have to do with your essay? And I was just like, I just like did not have an answer. But that's what George is doing here. It's like, what is this Chaucer thing from?
Yeah, why? King. Educate me, King.
Educate me, King.
Great. Sorry, you're paying me by the hour here.
Sorry. Yeah. So wait, so what does Chaucer say?
Chaucer says he had more toe on his distaff.
And he's
Gervais
talking about Ricky Gervais.
Knew. Yeah. We've got another one here.
Okay, that we don't have to analyze
a couple new characters.
Yeah.
Well, I think we'll just decide who has the biggest bingus of all these characters. Next. I don't know who either of these guys are. Dr. Sprague, who was considered the physician of most weight, and Dr. Okay. Minchin, who was said to have the most penetration.
Okay. Whew. So I think, who is it? Dr. Sprague and Dr. Minch?
Dr. Sprague has the most weight and Dr. Minchin has the most penetration.
So I think we're talking about girth and length, right?
Yeah. And it sounds like they're on either end of the spectrum. Like that, they are sort of the dots at the end of the spectrum.
Yeah, so it's like short but wide.
Yeah, and mentions the other side.
Or, yeah, long but narrow. And I, as a Bengus butcher, like, we're just saying how, I guess what we're saying is how long that dong. So we want to give it.
Yeah, it's not a value judgment.
Yeah.
I guess maybe we should take, like, cubic, like, area into regard, though, right?
Yeah, is it total surface area?
It's really hard. I have one more for you.
Yeah, perfect.
Let me see if I can get the context around this one a little bit.
Okay, one more, and then I guess we'll have 5 minutes left to talk about Lydgate and the Mawworm, which are the two, like, big characters that we haven't even really covered.
One fine morning, a young man whose hair was not immoderately long, but abundant and curly, and who was otherwise English in his equipment, had just turned his back on the Belvedere torso in the Vatican and was looking out on the magnificent view of the mountains. So that's actually Vladislav.
Yeah, and for folks who don't know, I lived in Rome for a year, so I can say this. Most art scholars know this, but there is a statue of Mr. Belvedere's torso in the Vatican.
So Mr. Ladislaw has decidedly English equipment.
Is that what, that's what they say?
Otherwise English in his equipment. So I think probably uncircumcised.
Oh, yeah, I guess that just means uncircumcised.
Though, yeah, we don't really get a hint on size here, but...
I mean, it could be referring to, like, English modesty, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
propriety.
Yeah.
So it could just mean like not showy.
Huh. Okay. So he's a little bit of a black box for two Bengus butchers like us then.
Yeah, for two Bengus butchers like us.
We need them to be a little bit showy.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know.
That's too bad because he is one of the main characters.
Yeah. Well,
it would be nice to get a read on his Bengus, but yeah. I don't know, TBD on him.
TBD. This has been Bengus Butchers. Sound off in the comments.
Yeah, let us know if you caught any.
I want to talk about the Mawworm real quick, and then we just got to say something about Lydgate. He's a pretty important character.
Okay.
Here's the... Did you catch this?
Did you say Mawworm?
Mawworm. It's about Casaubon. And he's talking about how he felt like he did a good job choosing his, like, super hot, accomplished wife, who's, like, 30 years younger than him. He felt that he had chosen the one who was in all respects the superior, and a man naturally likes to look forward to having the best. He would be the very Mawworm of bachelors who pretended not to expect it.
Spell it? What's the spelling?
M-A-W-W-O-R-M. Mawworm.
Mawworm.
Sounds good. Pretty cool.
Mawworm.
Do they have that in Warhammer?
Use it in a sentence. What's the origin, language of origin?
It's English. It's a Mawworm.
Use it in a sentence.
The Mawworm ate my baby.
Yeah, that's cool. We should bring that back. How does he use it? Does he use it as a good thing or a bad thing?
He thinks
thing?
That he's a Mawworm.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's a Mawworm because he chose like a hot wife.
I'm a real Mawworm.
Yeah.
It means like you're a trend hound, I think, right?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm imagining because a maw is like a mouth.
Yeah. And you worms go in it?
I think it's like a worm with a big mouth.
Dune.
Dune. Yeah. It's like that. Yes.
The Muad'Dib.
Yeah. So we got some good Dune stuff in here.
Lots of good Dune stuff.
You have to go to a meeting in 2 minutes. Should we say who Lydgate is?
Lydgate is a
Tertius Lydgate. He's new in
doctor
town.
Doctor who's coming to town, and he's starting a hospital, whether you fucking fuddy-duddies like it or not.
And he doesn't give a shit who's chaplain.
Yeah. Get bent, God, he says.
Yeah, there's like a real... this dude, Bulstrode, who's a piece of shit, really wants this one guy to be chaplain, and then some other people want this other guy who's nice to be chaplain, and Lydgate's like, I'm like... I don't care.
I'm not going to
get pulled into the petty politics of Middlemarch.
A meeting for a new job, so I'm going to let you do the outro, but I do want to hit you with King George slayed me one more time right at the end. Hat tip to King George for this one because we're going to put this on some merch.
Yeah.
Books are stuff and life is stupid is what he says.
Wow. That's what King George says?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Put that on some
merch. It had occurred to him that books were stuff and that life was stupid.
Thanks, George. I love it.
Yeah. All right. Have fun, everyone. I'll see you next week.
We have to go. Tanner's already left. He's left the building. I will just say to folks, thank you. And I don't have to thank you for coming on a death march because, you know, normally one wouldn't. But I would like to thank you all for joining us on this death march. We appreciate your being here. It's going to be fun whether you fall along the wayside and sink into the swamp or make it all the way to the end where I don't know what happens at the end of a death march. Maybe it's cookies and ice cream. But this week we read a novel. The novel we read was called The First Two Books of Middlemarch. And next week we will continue. We do not rest. We will not stop. We will continue at this blistering pace through Middlemarch, reading books 3 and 4. If you're just beginning the Death March now, that's fine. Just finish reading books 3 and 4. And please sound off in the comments with your memes. Post your It Follows, Middlemarch Follows videos on TikTok. We got a whole lot of memes for you to post, and you can make your own. It's really important that this goes viral. It needs to be. It has to be the next Ice Bucket Challenge. Otherwise, Tanner and I are, well, we have a lot writing on this. I'll just say we have a lot writing on this. A lot. So please make this the next Ice Bucket Challenge. Otherwise, because we've promised a lot of people. We've promised a lot of very powerful people that this is going to be the next Ice Bucket Challenge. So please, please post memes. All that remains now is for me to say, please, everybody, subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We're watching the TGIF shows. We're watching My So-Called Life. We're having such a good time. We are very grateful for everybody who has signed up to our Patreon and is watching along with us. It's so much fun. And thank you for being there. And also thank you, future Patreon subscriber, for your future subscription. It helps us to keep the show going. And join our Facebook group if you haven't. Everyone's having a good time in there posting memes. Everybody in there, literally everybody in there is both good and nice. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to join. It's the last good place on the crumbling internet. So get in there while you can. And what else? Rate and review the show, recommend it to a friend. And all that remains now, finally, is for me to say that for Tanner Green, I learned this from another podcast. For Tanner Greenring, I'm Jack Shepherd. And next week, it's more Middlemarch.
We might be childhood friends, and I might try.